What if your next marketing campaign was so successful that you sold millions and millions of units, but then you found out your production facility could not fulfill the orders? That is what happened to today's guest back when he was coaching an agile marketing team at Vistaprint. And it taught him some kind of tough lessons about when and how to look beyond what his team was doing, and to examine where there might be dependencies across the larger system. Kamal Hans has spent over 20 years supporting agile teams and transformations at organizations of all sizes, and he's also heavily involved with the Boston chapter of the American Marketing Association. So, like everybody and everything on the Agile Marketing Edge, Kamal is going to help us explore what happens when agility and marketing collide. In this case, for what seems like a great outcome, only to find out that it was something else. So let's get to it. Welcome to the Agile Marketing Edge, the first podcast dedicated to turning agile theory into real-world marketing breakthroughs. I'm Andrea Frivier, CEO of Agile Sherpas, and your guide on this climb to smarter, faster, outcome-driven marketing. Every week, we unpack the what, who, and how behind agile marketing, from building high-velocity workflows and slashing waste to measuring what really matters and scaling success across teams. You'll hear quick-hit strategies you can deploy today, plus candid stories from marketers who have traded chaos for clarity and never looked back. Hit follow wherever you listen, and let's carve the next switchback together. Kamal, thank you so much for being here today. Can you please introduce yourself to the audience and maybe tell them just a bit about your background and how you found your way into agile marketing?
Definitely, Andrea, and thank you for having me into your podcast. A little bit about me. My passion is to connect people with each other and with their purpose. And that's what I believe in, and that's what I believe that when people get connected with each other, they can do much bigger things in their life. And that's what is agile is, like kind of a, if you see, delivering value together sustainably. That's my definition of agile in one line. But how do I get there? I started my career as a telecom engineer, and soon I got involved into the customer-facing roles, like kind of a system engineering, where I was working with customers and understanding their pain points and then crafting the technical requirements for my technical teams. And that's how I got into really into understanding the customers, marketing, which is, in simple words, understanding the pain points of your customers. And my organization was going through Agile, and that was, a good overlap with the marketing, which is all about understanding your customers. Also, at the same time, how can you provide execution in a way that is iterative in the process, have the faster feedback loops? And that's how I got into this whole agile marketing space, where I have been working with some of the marketing organizations like Vistaprint and American Marketing Association. And then also at the same time, I have worked with many of the product organizations now. And right now I work as an enterprise agile coach for USAA, where my primary role is to improve the product operation enterprise-wide end-to-end, where I'm applying all those learnings that I have gained in the last 20 years.
I love that. Okay, so this is great. So we're gonna be able to look kind of big picture across the system, across the enterprise. But first, we need to kind of go back in time a little bit and talk about this one instance that we're gonna use as our jumping off point. So we talked about this right when we were preparing for the episode. You had this moment of what was seemingly this great kind of marketing triumph. So maybe set the stage for us. Tell us about the team and what you were trying to do and how things kind of got to that point.
Yeah, that was like a little bit long time back that I was coaching a transformation in an organization named Vistaprint. I talked about that. So what was the situation? Our campaign, our ideation team came up with an amazing idea to produce the photo mugs for our holiday seasons. Right now, it is very common, but believe me, back in time, none of the other company was producing those kind of mugs. So it was a genius move to come to the market, and then people will have their photos on their mugs for the holidays. So we worked hard. We launched the campaign. We did the TV commercial on all of those things around it. And we launched. And it was a huge success. So we sold over 500,000 mugs within a week itself. Like, and we were like, let's open up champagne. Let's party. We are a major success. But guess what? The reality hits. And we started getting calls from our production, our factories, that there's no way they can produce that many mugs within that time frame because they don't have that much of capacity. So now it's like kind of at the point for us, like what we do. Do we have a unhappy customers where we will not be able to fulfill their orders? Or we raised our concerns to our CEO level, kind of, and then took some guidance from our CEO. And one of that learning from that aspect was customer comes first. If we have promised them we're going to deliver the orders, we're going to deliver the orders. Doesn't matter how. So then we have to figure it out. What are the other third-party vendors we can use to produce those mugs? But what it created was more cost for us. So technically, we were fulfilling one order that was costing $5 more for us. So ultimately, like kind of a yes, it was a big success. You can say that the financially we didn't meet that kind of the margin, but operationally we could able to deliver each and every mug, protected our brand, and then earn the customers kind of the trust as well as kind of the wow factor in that. We produce something new and we could able to deliver more than 500,000 mugs within a month to our customers. So that was a huge, huge, I will still say success.
Right, right. But so many lessons there about, right, like customer centricity, but then also like some issues internally that you just didn't anticipate. So a lot of things that we can, I think, benefit unpacking and really working through with the benefit of hindsight. So let's dig into some of that. So you've got some distance now and you've come a long way since then. So what do you think that our listeners here, most of whom are, of course, agile marketers, what do you think that they might be able to learn about balancing the success of the brand or the organization as a whole with the success of an individual team? How do we walk that line from between optimizing for ourselves as an individual agile team versus looking at the bigger picture?
Yeah, definitely. So the first thing first is I think I will ground ourselves on one definition of marketing or kind of the product here, which is solving customers' problems profitably. Mm. So if you think from that perspective, like, yes, we are solving the problems, but if it is not profitable, we may not be able to do that for longer time. We can hit it one or two times, but profitability is also one of the key factor. I won't say this is the goal, but that's the fuel to fulfill our mission. So adding to the end-to-end part of where we can understand how we're going to achieve all the factors of that definition. Figuring it out, thinking from the perspective of system thinking, like, how do we map end-to-end from a starting a trigger, an idea, to collecting the money from our customers so that we can fuel the same money to our next endeavor or in the next idea that what we want to solve the problems for. So that is the one thing I would say, the biggest learning, that you need to connect all the dots in that definition. Don't think from the perspective, yes, we need to speed it up. We need to launch this campaign. And going from the perspective of output to the outcomes, like, hey, how do we launch that campaign and then be successful, to how do we deliver that many mugs to that many customers and have a wow factor into that? So that's the kind of the biggest learning I would say we had it.
Right. And I think there's an extrapolation here too of even within a large marketing function, we can't just optimize for social, we can't just optimize for email, we can't just optimize for a certain aspect of the buyer's journey. We really have to think about the end-to-end, and we have to think about it holistically as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's all, that's the kind of a magic of system thinking. I always think from that perspective, because our problems are not the simple problems where you can have direct cause and kind of the effect, like kind of the linear impact. What we work is in kind of all different systems, and everything is connected with each other. And without kind of understanding how the whole things will gonna work out, and you are just optimizing a smaller portion, may not leave you the impact that what you are looking for. So that's the point here in terms of system thinking.
Right. So it's not a simple, you know, change this one thing and then it only affects one thing down the line. There's this ripple effect and it's going to go out across lots of different aspects of the system. So we recognize that, and you obviously understand that. So if you're going back in time now and you can kind of whisper in your own ear during the sprint plannings that you were at leading up to this, what would you do kind of to maybe scope the work differently? Or is there an MVP kind of thing? How would you have done this differently with your teams to maybe have a different outcome if you could do it again?
That's a good question. And in fact, we did a retrospective after this whole success. I won't still call it a failure, I still call it a success. Many things came up, but as I evolved in my career and coaching other marketing organization, other product organization, the major thing that I would see here that which I could have done differently is, the first thing first is, we never anticipated that big success. We thought maybe we sell like 50,000 mugs, 100,000 mugs. We never anticipated that. So when you are doing such a big thing, always plan for the big success. Of course, like if it is there, you can dream big. So plan for that big success. Anything can happen in this world. Especially right now, you can see that many things go viral very quickly. And the same learning that we applied later on to our fidget spinners, when fidget spinners were getting popular, we could able to produce and then start doing those things very quickly. So speed matters, but never anticipate that it won't be a big success. It can really surprise you. So plan for that big success. Second thing here is, during the planning, think through end to end. Like all the constraints that possible, we talked about earlier, kind of from the output to the outcome perspective. Our goal was not that campaign to be a big hit, because we constrained that our goal. We're going to launch that campaign, and we're going to sell 50,000 mugs. That was our goal, which I feel is wrong, because that's a output, not the outcome. So outcome is our customers has that mugs in their hand so that they can gift to their loved ones. So going from the output perspective to the outcome perspective, that is the big, big thing I would have done if I have gone in past like that time, and then encourage the team to think from end-to-end outcome perspective rather than just focus on, we are a marketing team, we're going to launch the campaign, we're going to sell the mugs. So that's what I would change.
And that does require you to think about the system, right? And it might have required your team to almost throttle themselves, you know, and to maybe turn off the campaign at a certain point and kind of, in some ways, tank themselves, right? And say, we're going to take a hit as a marketing team and maybe sell less because we want to help out our colleagues on the production side. And, you know, if you're, how would you coach to that? You know, if there's I've worked with a lot of teams where there's this culture more of competition, right? Where that would just be not a conversation that people would be open to. So how do you get to more of that kind of systems mindset and that more of collaboration and joint effort toward that outcome, as opposed to, I'm going to hit my KPI, and if that messes you up, then I'm sorry, you know, but my KPI is my KPI.
Yeah. There are two aspects of it. If we go back to the same example here, one is the business aspects, of course, the people that they need to talk to the other people. But at the same time, there is a technical aspect too. What is happening at the production line? Is it really connected with your front-end store? Like, say, for example, we could able to create, hey, our production line is have the capacity of producing 1,000 in a day. We are making sure that we are selling only 1,000 mugs in a day. Those two things are connected technically. So in our scenario, that was a no. So now we could able to think, and it's again the system thinking, not only from the people perspective, it is from your technology perspective too. How your technical components are connected with each other, and then information is being shared so that people could able to utilize those data as a whole system. So that's the number one. And when you talked about kind of a, there is a competition happening all the time between those systems, and then how do we coach it? I have an analogy that I can share with you. We know soccer, right? So in soccer, you have offensive player, and then you have a defensive player. If a person is standing at near the goal, and other teammate is trying to hit a goal, and if I'm an offensive player, would I say that, no, my job is to offense, I'm not going to save the goal? You do that, right? So the whole idea behind here is they are all connected with the purpose, with the one goal, one shared goal to win the game. They don't say that I'm an offensive player, I'm a defensive player, I'm going to just do my job. And that's like where you come from the cross-functional team perspective. Like where, yes, I am expert in one thing, but I can do multiple things. If the ball comes to me, I'm going to defend it. So that's where I think comes in a place when you have a culture of competition. How do I connect both the teams with this shared purpose? So I actually sometimes do a workshop, which is, I call it a purpose workshop, where we take the organization's organization's purpose, then connect it with the team purpose, and then connect it with their personal purpose. So how do all those three things are aligned? that's where the magic is going to happen. If your purpose is not aligned with what your team is doing, and your team's purpose is not aligned with what the organization is doing, something is really missing, because that's what it creates the competition, because you are going in a really different direction and the other team is going in a really different direction. So a simple liner in there, if there is a culture of competition, this because, again, in my experience, they are not aligned on the purpose. So how do we connect them and align on the purpose?
Right. And do you see purpose and that outcome as being the same thing or adjacent, close to each other?
Yes. So purpose is a little bit bigger than the outcome. You will achieve the outcome within a certain time frame, and then you will move to the different outcome. So purpose is bigger than the outcome, where you are creating those outcomes to achieve that big purpose. So that's the little difference here. Let me give you a little example here in terms of Legos. I use a lot of analogies. So Lego is a company that sells our Lego toys for kids. So their purpose is to create a entertainment or a learning opportunity for the kids to connect those Lego pieces. So, and if you think from the outcome perspective, whenever a person, kids are having fun playing with their Lego box, that is gonna achieve their outcome. Means that, and to do that, what they do is they may create some specific Legos like Star Wars, Minecraft, Roblox, or any other ones. So those becomes their outputs, which are deliverables, correct? Then the outcome is create an environment where kids can have fun. Once the kids can have fun, that's their outcome. And once the kids are having fun, they will tell their parents to buy more Lego boxes. And once they have the more Lego boxes, their revenue goes up. And once their revenue goes up, they can feel that the same thing to create the more outputs, more innovative ideas, more things around Lego. So this is how everything is connected. Like from your impact purpose is the whole big purpose, their mission statement, that why this company exists, what they want to do, and then those outcomes are the slice of that purpose, how they are making that purpose happen. And then it connects with your impact, which can be your revenue, NPS score, or any other things. And then the outputs is your deliverable. Launching that campaign is an output. But delivering a photo mug so that people could able to gift that to their loved ones is the outcome. So that's the difference, and then connection from impact to purpose to output to the outcomes.
Right. And then if we're getting down to kind of the individual people, what I was thinking of when you were talking is that that autonomy, mastery, purpose, right? Individual people also want to feel connected to the larger purpose of the organization. And when I've been working with marketers over the years, I often hear that they have come to feel disconnected from the purpose of the organization, especially in like B2B, where there's these long buying cycles and sales is often the ones who are communicating directly with buyers and things like that. And marketers have come to be these kind of order takers, right? Like make the landing page and make the email and just do the thing. And they're not really getting to be strategic anymore. And I'm wondering how this more interconnected systems sort of level view might help mitigate that feeling of disconnectedness that B2B marketers in particular might be struggling with.
Yeah, I personally feel especially in the B2B space, It's a little bit of like kind of a journey from being a order taker to like kind of a, you are designing the flow of the value, because initially, like, you know, that when you join, like, kind of as a marketer, any organization, you are working as a team, and the team may already have a very kind of a clear goal set up, clear purpose set up, but because you joined it, you may not know all of those items. Also, at the same time, if there was a organization already there, like kind of the team is already there, individual people are already there. But what happens is sometime there is a strategy change, there is a leadership change, and they may have adopt a different purpose a little bit or tweak their purpose a little bit. That is not communicated to them. At that time, there may be a conflict between those two purposes. So they are working on the old purpose, but we have a new purpose. So then they are saying, oh, just do this. Just craft me an email campaign. Okay. As an order taker, I can say, yes, I can craft you an email campaign. But can you connect the dots that how this email campaign will help our this or kind of the organization strategy, how this is all connected. So one of the item, actually, you are already aware, maybe on the SAFE perspective, we talk about the value stream mapping. Creating a customer journey, kind of identifying how all of those things are connected. Where this email campaign is going to fit in the bigger picture of acquiring more customers or retaining more customers, or it is a some kind of a fire drill, something bad happened, I'm just going to put that fire out. So what is the purpose here? So that's the one thing I generally coach people. It's okay to be an order taker. You do the work first because you earn that trust from an order taker to the trusted advisor, then only you could able to kind of a be the manager or a, in a way, I would say, that you could able to manage the flow of the value. That's where you need to go in and then understand. But first thing first is align your purpose with your team purpose, organization purpose, all those three things are aligned. Understand the end-to-end. Ask questions. Like, show and show the mirror. Like, kind of a, like many times the marketers, the junior marketers come to me, we don't have the power to change anything. But I am seeing these many problems. Yes, you are seeing these problems because your leaders doesn't see these problems. It's your role to show them the mirror and then explain them what you are seeing. They are not seeing it. It may be possible they may see some different opportunities that you don't see it. So connecting those collaborative environment, like kind of a, those two together is the key. That's what I believe in.
Absolutely. And I think so much of what you're saying is dependent on there being that an environment where it's okay to ask questions, right? And it's okay to point out, this doesn't seem to be working, or I don't understand the connection, right? And so we'll put a link in the show notes, but we have a whole episode about psychological safety and radical candor and the, how you need to balance those things, and they don't just automatically show up. You have to cultivate them. So all of these things ultimately become interconnected. So that's why we talk about the system. So Kamal, thank you so much for being here and helping us see kind of how a great campaign can disrupt a system. And we've got to look beyond what we're doing as a team. So such a valuable conversation and so fun to get to hear just your journey from team to looking at the whole enterprise. I'm sure that you and I have a lot more to talk about that. So maybe we have another episode in the future where we can go even bigger about what the enterprise needs to look like. But thank you again for your time. This has been great.
Thanks for having me. I had so much fun.
And so if you have been listening and wondering where in your system the issues might lie, we do have a marketing agility assessment that can help you figure some of that out. We will put the link in the show notes. And of course, you can always find it at agilesherpas.com. Until next time, I am your host, Andrea Freirier. Remember, the struggle is real, but so is agile marketing. Thanks for listening.